Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of I Live in Your Basement by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I have a couple episodes that I might edit and might put out of Give Yourself Goosebumps, the Choose Your Own Adventures. I have two more that were recorded the same day as the last one that require heavy editing, and I've started to kind of do it, and I don't know how I feel. I might put all three out at once, and then the other one is done to my nephews, who are, I think, 4 and 7, 4 and 8, something like that. And so it's just a different vibe as I'm actually reading Goosebumps to children. The cover of this one has some sort of infected-ass, lumpy tumor that looks like a person of Walmart. And it says, talk about a monster nightmare. It's number 61 of 62 on the original series, and clearly he was done. Anyway, the monster seems to be coming out of the dryer next to a washing machine in the basement. This was suggested to me by a listener on the Dune Reads Goosebumps Facebook, when I was like, hey, what should I read? And then two people responded, one of which had a book that I already read, but it was, you know, years and years ago that I did, and one of them had this, and I was like, all right, well, that's the only choice. It's hard because people are constantly like, when's the next episode coming out? When I take a longer break, which I took because I haven't had any time alone, but the point is, people always say that, then it's like, hey, it's a give and a take thing, right? Or is it not? I don't know. The point is, when I'm like, hey, I have a question, interact with me, they're like, no, fuck you, just supply us with content and fucking eat dick. Anyway, this is called I Live in Your Basement. We should do a contest that coincides with this, where I move into your basement for like a long weekend. You just gotta pay me to fly me out and give me beer and chicken wings. Because that's what I live off of. By the way, there are chicken wings in the oven right now that I'm making. I was about to say from scratch, but I think the chicken did most of the work. So if it beeps, I'm going to stop because chicken wings take priority. All right, drinking Steel Reserve, 2 Steel Reserves, but now I got a 40 of fucking Country Club malt liquor, which, by the way, I never thought they would change it, but the 40s come in plastic bottles now. And I don't like it. It's unnatural. It's like ruining an American tradition. But this is still a glass. Proper 40. I don't know. It means something to me. I don't know why. I know why, because I'm drunk. Chapter 1. Don't do that. You'll poke your eye out. That's what my mom says every time I have an erection and try to stare right at it, no matter what I'm doing. I told that to my friend Jeremy Goodman as we trotted to the playground behind our school. Jeremy laughed. Your mom really says that to you, Marco? Polo, just kidding. I nodded and picked up the pace, keeping side by side with Jeremy as we crossed Fulton Street. Last night, I had a lot of homework, I told him. I took out 3 pencils and started to sharpen them. My mom came into the room and said, don't do that, you'll poke your eye out. What kind of shitty fucking neurotic mom is that? I'm trying to do some homework. Nah, sorry dude, that's dangerous. Just play with this iPad like every other kid your age. Jeremy laughed. What does she want you to use? Crayons? I didn't laugh. It wasn't funny to me. I'm 12 years old, and my mom treats me like some kind of baby, even though I have 6 pubes. She's always warning me about everything I do. Don't climb that tree, you'll break your neck. Don't vape, you'll get popcorn lung. Don't fill the bathtub so full, you'll drown. Don't huff that dune, your brain is not working so... You don't huff dune. I think that's what my fiance says all the time. I think that's verbatim. So I'm remembering it at least. Don't eat so fast, you'll choke. She has a warning about everything. I keep expecting her to say, Marco! Polo, just kidding again. Don't breathe so hard, you'll break your nose. She drives me crazy. She constantly thinks up new ways I might hurt myself or do some kind of damage. Sit up straight or your spine will curve. Uh-oh, I can't do that while recording this position. Don't make ugly faces. Your face will freeze and you'll always look like that. Will I always look like this? Don't pick your nose. Your finger will get stuck. She's also the world's expert on germs. I thought that was Geo. He's like, don't drink water, as parasites. You know, stop snorting rain puddles because you think it's funny. You're going to die, dude. And I'm like, Geo, back off, okay? I got all the parasites I need or something. I don't know what's going on. According to Mom, everything you touch or see will give you germs. Don't hug the dog, it has germs. Don't touch Jenny McCarthy, she has germs. Don't take a bite of Jeremy's candy bar, germs. Don't put your hands in your pockets, germs. Don't touch a black, germs. Mom is always on guard duty and apparently very racist. Always alert, like Amber, always ready to step in and warn me about something. It makes my life a little hard. She doesn't like for me to play softball with my friends.
Probably, what? Why are you playing softball, bruh?
She's sure I'll break my leg. That's if I'm lucky. If I'm unlucky, I'll break every bone in my body. Do you know how hard it would be to break every bone in your body?
Well, that's what I'm going to do to you if you win that contest and keep me in your basement systematically every bone while you sleep. Somehow you're not going to wake up. Look, I don't have the system figured out. Point is, I'm going to hurt you.
My mom is the only person in the world who thinks people do it every day of the week. That's why I would sneak out Franklin out of the house to go play softball at the playground with Jeremy and some other kids from school. It was a warm, sunny day. The green lawns along Fulton Street all glowed in the sunlight. The air smelled fresh and sweet, like pan de queso.
What?
It felt so good to be jogging down the sidewalk with Jeremy, looking forward to playing a game, laughing, and spending time with friends. Ah, like Sandlot. School had let out early because some of the teachers had a meeting. I hurried home and dropped off my backpack. The house was empty, except for Tyler, my dog. He's part Cocker Spaniel, part we don't know what.
That's like Franklin. Franklin, you're part rat terrier and part... What do you get when you mix an elephant and a rhino, Franklin?
Elephino!
Right? You want to go back to sleep? All right, I'll stop talking directly to you.
Tyler was happy to see me. He licked my face, and I could tell how excited he was by his lipstick being out. Mom doesn't like it when I let Tyler lick my face. You know why. Why? The terrible G word.
Connie doesn't like it when Franklin licks my face either. But he's such an angel. He can do whatever he wants.
Mom was out shopping or something. You know how women are. I guess she forgot that I'd be home early. Such a lucky break. I changed into a ragged pair of jeans and a t-shirt. Then I grabbed my baseball glove and hurried out to meet Jeremy before Mom returned home. Marco!
Polo?
What would your mom do if she caught you playing softball? Jeremy asked. Warn me, I replied. She never punishes me or anything. She just warns me. My parents never warn me about shit, Jeremy said. That's because you're perfect, I teased, eyeing what I hoped was a cup, but it really probably wasn't. It was probably just his fucking dong. Jeremy slugged me in the arm. Actually, I wasn't teasing. Jeremy is perfect. He's got all A's in school. He's good at sports. He takes care of his little sister. He almost never gets in trouble. He doesn't touch anything with germs. Perfect. We passed the bus stop and crossed Fairchild Avenue. Our school came into view. It's a long, one-story building that stretches in a straight line for nearly a whole block. The walls of the school are painted bright yellow as an egg yolk. Mom says they discuss the color.
Uh-oh. Sorry. I gotta go back here. My chicken wings!
All right, guys, don't worry. The chicken wings are back in the oven for another 25 minutes. We'll get back to this. I still need to give a lot of updates on my life since I haven't recorded properly in a long time. The walls of the school are painted bright yellow, as an egg yolk. Mom says they discuss the color at a lot of parent-teacher association meetings. No one likes it. Jeremy and I jogged through the teacher's parking lot to the playground behind the building. The softball diamond stood behind the row of swings. A bunch of kids were already there. I recognized Gwynny Evans. Is that? It's like Tony Gwynn with IE. It's Gwynny. And Leo Murphy. The Franklin twins. That's probably referring to testicles that are on my dog prior to them being removed, right? Am I right? Oh, God, I wish I delivered that better. We're arguing as usual, standing nose to nose, screaming at each other. They're weird guys. You can never put them on the same team. You can start now, Jeremy shouted. The All-Stars are here. He took off across the grass. Leo and some of the other kids called out to us. I slowed to a walk, breathing hard. Jeremy is a lot better athlete than I am. Gwynny stood on the pitching mound, swinging two bats and talking to Lauren Blank. Gwynny is always trying to prove that she's better in sports than any of the boys, because soon she will come out as a lesbian. She's big and strong. She's at least half a foot taller than me. She's got much bigger shoulders. She's always pushing kids around and acting tough. You know, because of her own insecurities, she acts out on other children. No one likes her, but we always want her on our team because she can hit the ball a mile. And if some kind of argument breaks out, Gwynny always wins. It's because she can yell the loudest. Isn't that how politics work? Like, it doesn't matter what you're saying, it's just if you say it the loudest. Isn't that how Trump might be our next president? I say it like I care about politics at all. Like, I think if Trump was president, it would just be funny always. I don't vote. Fuck that shit. But, like, I don't think that Hillary or Bernie Sanders are good. I don't think Trump's good either. It's all stupid. I'm just gonna go to work and get drunk and record Goosebumps and do whatever I do. I don't care about politics. Let's get started, Jeremy declared. Who's choosing up sides? I asked. Who are the captains? Leo pointed. Gwynny and Lauren. I took off running to the pitcher's mound. Gwynny dropped one of the bats to the ground, and she had the other one in her grip. I guess she didn't see me. As I ran up to her, she pulled the back bat. She pulled the bat back and swung with all her might. I saw the bat move, but I didn't have time to duck or move out of the way. The bat made a loud thunk as it slammed into the side of my head. When I was a little kid, my brother got smacked in the head by the backswing of a golf club, and it was horrible. He had to go to the hospital and get stitches and stuff. Now he's successful, and I'm not. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Point is, thunk the side of that guy's head, I'll keep reading Goosebumps. At first, I didn't feel a thing. The ground tilted up, but I still didn't feel anything. Then the pain exploded in my head. Exploded, exploded, exploded. It says it three times. I'm just trying to read it properly. Everything flashed bright red. I heard myself shrieking, neighing like a horse. A shrill wail I've never heard before. And then the ground flew up to swallow me. It probably actually wasn't the ground flying up as much as it was actually him falling down towards the ground and perceiving it that way, right? So, New Year's Eve happened, and we wanted to get away from things, and me and Connie and Fred and his wife and Roy and his wife went to Mexico. And we rented out a 50-acre ranch. This sounds expensive, but I didn't pay anything because Connie had tattooed Fred and his wife, and they owed him, or owed her, yeesh, they owed my fiance money. And so that paid for our share. And it was this ranch just in the middle of nowhere. You go drive down into Tijuana, past Rosarito, into Puerto Nuevo, go one exit south, and then drive east into the mountains and hills for like 45 minutes and dirt roads and shit. It was crazy, but it was beautiful. There were horses around that we could just like ride Like, we were just riding horses, and we brought a couple dogs. The only power there was running off car batteries in the room. All the heat, which was fucking cold, was from, like, wood-burning stoves. And we cooked. We went into town one day. We did a bunch of archery. We drank, like, we were joking about buying too much booze at the Mexican grocery store. And we drank every bit of it. And it was really good times. Did a lot of stuff. I really don't want to talk about it on here, but hit the pinnacle of my weirdness, I think, as an adult. I think I tweeted about it. I hit the pinnacle weird, and now it's all down towards normalcy, being an adult. But it was really good times. And we didn't have to see any other people on New Year's, which is rad. And we had fireworks. Our own fireworks. But mostly M80s, because we blew up a lot of shit. Chapter number 2. I woke up staring at the ceiling. A blue ceiling light. Blue as the sky. Da-ba-dee-da, it's blue like sky. Yeah, that's blue. Blurred, then sharpened. Blurred, and then sharpened above me. Mom's face floated into view. I blinked twice. Twice. I knew I was home. Mom's eyes were red and wet. She'd clearly been taking bong loads in the basement. She had her black hair pulled back tightly like a oriental massage lady. I think I should have just said Asian masseuse. But several strands had fallen loose and hung down her forehead like the girl from The Ring. Her chin trembled.
Marco?
Hello? I groaned. My head ached. Everything ached. I've done it, I thought. I've broken every bone in my body.
Marco,
Mom repeated in a whisper.
Polo,
she added in a whisper. No, she didn't. I'm going to do that every time until I kill myself. Are you waking up, dear?
Huh?
I groaned again. Something was sitting on my head, weighing me down. Tyler, why was the dog sitting on my head? Teabagging you, bruh. My arms ached as I slowly raised my hands to my head. I felt a bandage, a heavy bandage. I lowered my hands. The room began to spin. I gripped the couch cushions, holding on for dear life. I stared up at the blue ceiling light until it came into focus. The den. I was lying on the soft leather couch in the den. What a den. I knew one family growing up that had a den. That's cool as hell to have a den. Someone get me a den. Mom floated into view again after the Dane. Her chin still trembling. She pulled a blanket up nearly to my chin.
Marco?
You're awake? She repeated. How do you feel?
Great, I muttered.
Talking made my throat hurt.
I wish sometimes it hurts, but yeah. I am going to drink.
It's only 5:15. I've been drinking heavily. We'll see how this night goes. She stared down at me. Can you see me, dear? It's me, your mom. Yeah, I can see, I whispered. She wiped one tear with a tissue. Then she stared at me some more. I can see fine, I told her. She patted my chest over the blanket. That's good, dear. I groaned in reply. Please don't say I told you so. Fucking a toda so, I thought. Crossed my fingers, even though it hurt to cross them, and prayed. Please don't say I told you so. Please, Ricky, who art in Sunnyvale Trailer Park, don't say a fucking toda so. Mom's expression changed. She frowned at me. I told you not to play baseball, she said. It wasn't baseball, I choked out. It was softball. I told you not to play, Mom said sternly. Hey now. But you didn't listen to me, and now you've cracked your head open like an eggshell. Huh? I gasped. Cracked it open? Mom, will I be okay? Will I? I demanded.
Yeah, if his rap name, if he had a rap, will I demand, will I, fuck my brain, all right, I'm gonna
drink heavily in between this break so my brain's not all gummed up. Tell me the truth. What did the doctor say, Mom? Will I be okay?
Maybe I won't stop. I'll just chug some.
Oh.
Chapter 3. But seriously, chapter 3. Of course, she replied. Her face floated over me for a second, like the guy from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, then slid out of view. I didn't like the way she said it. It sounded false, too cheerful. Tell me the truth, I insisted. Am I really going to be okay? And why do my genitals not look like the other kids? No answer on either topic. I lifted my head. Sharp pain shot down the back of my neck. Mom had vanished from the room. I could hear her putting plates away in the kitchen. I tried calling her, but my voice came out in a hoarse whisper. It sounded something like this. Nay! Just kidding, guys. Hey, it's Dan, reading Goosebumps. I lowered my head slowly to the couch cushion and shut my eyes. I guess I drifted off to sleep. The ringing phone woke me up.
Every day I'm hustling.
Hello? I blinked up at the blue ceiling light, forcing it to come into focus. The phone rang and rang.
Every day I'm hustling.
I waited for Mom to pick it up, but she didn't answer. Did she go out and leave me here all alone? I wondered. She wouldn't do that. Where is she? Groaning, I rolled onto my side and grabbed the phone off the coffee table. I raised it to my ear. Ow! I banged it too hard against the bandage over my head. The side of my head throbbed in pain. Hello? I croaked. I heard breathing on the other end, and then a voice I didn't recognize said, I hope you're okay, Marco Polo.
Who this is?
I stammered. I shut my eyes tight like a Chinaman, trying to push away the pain of my throbbing head. I hope you're okay, the voice repeated. A boy's voice.
Ooh, Scarlet, did you hear that? It was a boy.
I don't want anything bad to happen to you.
You don't?
I murmured. Thanks. I kept my eyes shut. The pain pulsed at my temples, like it was a temple of head doom. It was hard to hold the phone over the heavy bandage.
Who is this?
I demanded again. I don't want anything bad to happen to you, the boy said again, because you're going to take care of me from now on.
Excuse me? I choked out. I don't understand.
Silence at the other end. I took a deep breath. I decided to ask the question
one more time. Who this is?
It's me, the voice replied. Keith.
Keith? Like Chief Keith? No, just normal Keith. Me, Keith.
I don't know you, I stammered. You should, the boy replied softly. You should know me, Marco Polo. I live in your basement.
This is getting creepy. Like those weird creepy threads that always come up on Reddit where someone had some crazy hobo living in some crawl space they didn't know about. I don't like that one bit. I already got too many pets going on. I don't need any hobo pets.
My fiance is out of town and it's weird for me. It's good that I can get things done, but I miss her already.
Chapter 4. Did I hang up or did Keith hang up? I'm not sure. I felt very confused, very upset like a teenager. Keith hadn't called to be friendly. I knew he was trying to scare me. But why? Was it actually a friend of mine? Someone from school playing a joke? It wasn't a very funny joke. I stared at the ceiling, feeling groggy and weak. I don't know how much time passed. I kept picturing Gwynnie standing at the pitcher's mound. I saw her swinging two bats. God, I wish one of the bats was mine. Then one. Oh, just mine. I saw the bat whirling toward my head. What did the first sentence of this book say? It said, keep your dick out of your face.
Or something. I don't remember exactly. Like I said, it's five something and I've been drinking.
Oh! I uttered a low moan and forced the picture from my head.
How are you doing, Marco Apollo? A voice whispered. I gazed up at Mom. She had brushed her hair and put on lipstick like a hussy. She had changed into a bright green t-shirt and a dark skirt.
She's not trying to attract anyone but Ninja Turtles.
I feel better. Sorry, feeling better? She asked. I brought you a bowl of cereal. You should try to eat something. If you don't eat acid.
Oh, God, I don't know what I'm saying. If you don't eat, comma, acid will burn a hole in your stomach. It's funny because you could just arrange it slightly and it says, if you don't eat acid, will burn a hole in your stomach. Those are people I want to hang out with.
Mom, the phone. I started groggily. It rang and yes, I know. She interrupted. It was Jeremy. He wanted to know if he could come over to see you. Huh? Jeremy? She nodded. I told him you weren't quite ready for visitors. I said he could probably come tomorrow. I don't mean that call, I said. I pulled myself up onto my elbows. My head didn't throb as badly. The room didn't spin and tilt.
Oh, I don't have a drinking problem.
I was starting to feel a little stronger, better, faster. Kanye Dune loves Kanye West. I got another call, I told her. You didn't pick it up, so I answered it. But Marco Polo, Mom started. It was from a strange boy, I continued. It was a very weird call. He said his name was Keith. And he said he lived in our basement. Mom's expression changed. She lowered her eyes. Oh, wow, she murmured. It was kind of a frightening call, I said. Why would someone call and say they lived in our basement? Mom placed a cool hand on my hot forehead. I'm a little worried about you, Marco.
Polo?
She said softly. Huh? What do you mean? You have to take things slowly, she replied like an Usher song. You didn't listen to my warnings, and you had a very bad hit on the head. But Mom, that phone call I got. Her chin quivered as some backup beeper was going in Dune's complex. You're not thinking clearly, Marco Polo, she said. Why? Why did you say that? I demanded. She narrowed her eyes at me. There's no phone in this room, she said.
Polo.
Chapter number 5. I woke up early the next morning. I sat up, feeling alert, refreshed. Before I even stood up, I knew I was a lot better. My head didn't throb, my muscles didn't ache. That makes one of us. So, you know how I consistently make ridiculous decisions? I decided to start tattooing, or I didn't tattoo, my fiance tattooed on me, a 2-foot traditional gorilla head on my entire chest, from like way below my belly button to like my neck. And dear God, it was the most pain I've ever been in my life, including every other tattoo and everything. It went on so long, it was the closest I've ever been to tapping out. And it was like 4 days ago, and dear God, it still hurts even to be sitting like this. Well, what am I thinking? Anyway, I took a long shower, which Dune can't because of a new tattoo. The water felt so crisp and sharp on my skin. I was drying myself when I realized I no longer had the bandage on my head. I spotted it on the floor by my bed.
Those words rhymed, didn't they?
I guessed it had fallen off during the night. Was I correct? You bet you're right. Stepping up to the medicine chest mirror, there was something that I just couldn't hear. I checked out the damage, and it was more than one could stand it.
All right, I'm gonna stop rhyming.
Stepping up to the medicine chest mirror, I checked out the damage. Not too bad. I had an ugly purple bruise on my right temple. It swelled up like a giant mosquito bite, like your mom's gross-ass small tits, but the rest of my head had its normal shape. I winked at myself. My eyes seemed sharp and clear. I let out a loud cheer. God damn it. My throat didn't hurt. I was about to squirt. Ah, fuck it. Never mind. We don't need a rhyme every time it does. I was so happy to be feeling strong again. I pulled on a pair of baggy jeans because, you know, it was the late 90s, and a sweatshirt, and I hurried down to the kitchen for breakfast. Don't run in the kitchen like that,
Mom warned. You'll bang into the counter and break your kneecap. Kneecap? That was a new one. I am starving, I cried. I poured myself a big bowl of my favorite cereal combo. Frosted Flakes and Corn Pops, all mixed together. By the way, when I was a kid, my dad used to always mix cereal, so I picked it up from him. And then living with a bunch of different people, eventually through time, they're always like, what, you mix cereals? And I was like, yeah, that's how you do it. But apparently not a common thing, whatever. I grabbed a spoon and began gobbling hungrily. Don't eat cereal so fast, Mom warned me. It'll clog your stomach pipes. She's like the dad from Freaks and Geeks. I'd heard that one before. Guess you're feeling better, Mom said. She smiled at me and squeezed my hand. I nodded. I feel fine, I told her. What day is it? It's Saturday! Ooh, ooh, oh, sticky icky icky, she replied. Her face had a smile that faded. I'm glad you're feeling better, but I want you to stay in today. You always want me to stay in, I grumbled. You're still weak, she said. You might faint and hit your head on the sidewalk. I'll stay in, I promised. A loud thud thud made me jump. What was that? I yelped, talking about my burrito I ate the day before. Taco Bell, what's this? I expect a higher quality, 2 stars. Mom stood up. She studied me. It's just someone knocking at the door, she said. See? You're still not yourself, Marco. Follow. I said I won't go out, I groaned. Jeremy came into the kitchen. He stopped halfway across the room and stared at me. Are you alive? He asked. I pinched my arm. Yeah, I told him. Don't pinch yourself. You'll make a bruise, Mom warned. There's no dad and a overbearing mother. Isn't that what they used to think was the old recipe that made a gay? Just saying. Jeremy didn't come any closer. He stood in the middle of the kitchen and stared at me. Why don't you sit down while I finish my cereal? I asked him. It's okay to come over here. You won't catch what I've got. Did you eat breakfast? Mom asked Jeremy. Never go out on an empty stomach. Your whole system will stop working. So, bodies work. Jeremy walked slowly to the table. I just keep picturing Gwynny swinging that bat, he said. He swallowed hard. It was so horrible. I saw the whole thing. He dropped into the chair next to me and sighed. I thought she knocked your head off, Marco. Polo. I really did. I was sick. I thought I was going to heave up my lunch onto the grass. I think I've told this story on here because Goosebumps comes up on Because my life comes up on Goosebumps or whatever this is. Dune reads Goosebumps. But one of my old best friends, I was playing first base and he was playing second base and caught a line drive and it went straight, hit a rock, popped up and knocked all 4 front teeth on the top side into his head. And I watched it and the blood spurting out and goddamn, it was horrifying. Jesus. Don't talk about heaving at the breakfast table, Mom scolded. She started for the door. I have to leave for a short while, Marco. Hello. Remember your promise. Don't go out. I remember, I muttered. And take it easy, she instructed. Just sit and talk. Don't do anything else. You'll pass out. When she disappeared, Jerry turned to me. You really okay? He asked. I nodded. Yeah, I don't feel bad at all. I finished the last of the cereal and poured myself a glass of orange juice. I feel a lot better than yesterday, I declared. Gwynny called me last night, Jeremy said. She wanted to know how you were doing. She was really messed up. You know, hitting that Oxycontin, like white trash people love. You know, about hitting you. Oh, goddammit. Chicken wings are done. I promise this is the last time. Hold up. In case you're wondering, the chicken wings are delicious. I snickered. You mean she didn't brag about what a great swing she has? No way, Jeremy insisted. Well, it wasn't her fault, I said. I ran right into her bat. It was a real smooth move. We talked about the accident for a while longer. When I asked Jeremy if he had wanted to feel the purple bump inside my pants. That's my dickhead, y'all. Just kidding, on the side of my head. And hey, no way, he cried, making a sick face. I knew that would gross him out. He helped me put away the breakfast stuff. What do you want to do? I asked him. Your mom said you can't go out, Jeremy reminded me. So we'll stay in, I replied. Want to play pool? He suggested. Pool is a game that's nothing like billiards. It's where we both put on our bathing suits and wrestle around in the shower trying to get as wet as possible. It's good fun. Oh, wait, no, sorry. They have a pool table in their basement. Oh, Jesus. Where did I get that from? It's a regulation size table, and there isn't quite enough room for it. You have to tilt your pool cue up and play around the concrete beams. Yeah, I'll play you, I agreed. He's a much better pool player than I am, but sometimes I get lucky and beat him. I finished shoving the breakfast dishes into the dishwasher. Then I led the way to the basement door. I reached for the doorknob, then stopped. I live in your basement. I remembered the boy's voice on the phone, so flat and cold. You're going to take care of me from now on. I live in your basement. His words came back to me. They made me hesitate at the door. But I only imagined that call, I told myself. There was no boy. No voice. No. Keith. Bang, bang. I imagined it because I got hit on the head, right? I pulled open the door. I gazed down the basement steps. Then, gripping the banister, I led the way down.
Chapter number 666. Polo.
As soon as I reached the basement, I ran around turning on all the lights, even in the laundry room. Jeremy picked up a pool cue and began to chalk the tip. Ooh. What is your problem, Marco Polo? He called. Are we going to play or not? I like a lot of light, I told him. I peeked behind the big stack of cartons near the furnace. Then I squeezed behind the furnace to see if anyone was living back there. I'd make fun of him more. But like until I moved out of my parents' house, I would like go pee in the middle of the night and do that move where you like, ha-ha, pull back the shower curtain, you know? But there was no one there ever. Just saying. I don't do that anymore because I'm the man of the house. I take care of shit. Nothing gets in without me knowing, right, Franklin? Oh, big man. All right, well, to be fair, I'd probably wake up my fiance and she'd stab him. She's a chola. It's okay.
Nothing but a tall mountain of dust. I was beginning to feel a little silly.
Yeah, a tall mountain of dust will do that to you.
Why would anyone be living in my basement? Were they just posting on 4chan all day? The idea was crazy. I trotted over to the pool table and picked out a cue. Then Jeremy and I began to play. He sank the 3 ball in the side pocket. I wish he'd put 2 balls in my back pocket. On his next shot, balls clattered all over the table, but none on my chin, and none dropped in. My turn, I had to squeeze between the table and a concrete pole and tilt the cue up towards the ceiling. Not an easy shot. I missed everything. Did you ever play pool with Gwynny?
Every time that name throws me off, the W-Y-N-N-I-E. It's like Zizix Road. It doesn't make sense. Anyway, Gwynny, Jeremy asked, moving around the table to find his best shot.
No, never, I told him. Is she any good?
He snickered. She plays pool the way she plays softball. She hits the balls so hard she cracks them, like Michael Jackson did in the Smooth Criminal video, and then he blew the dust in the guy's face, and it was really cool. Smooth Criminal, jumpa jumpa da da da, zip a banner, win a hand, what?
A bunch of us were playing once at the youth center. Gwynny sent a ball flying off the table, and it sailed out the window, and it's in orbit right now, going around, and the Russians have it now, and they drink vodka on it. It's crazy.
Maybe she thinks she has to hit a home run, I joked.
We both laughed. Laughing made the side of my head hurt. Thinking about Gwynny made my head hurt.
Jeremy bounced the 7-ball into the 8-ball. The 8-ball almost dropped into a corner pocket. That was close, he sighed. Maybe you don't know the rules of pool. How condescending, R.L. Stein. I would say the average age of my listeners is like 22. You know? You don't have to talk down to them. Anyway, if the ball goes in, if the 8-ball goes in, you lose. That's the only way I ever beat Jeremy. The Franklin twins were playing at the youth center too, Jeremy continued, and they got into a fight. I rolled my eyes. So what else is new? It was so dumb, Jeremy said. They were arguing over which is the 6-ball and which is the 9-ball. They started fencing with their pool cues, and then they smeared blue chalk all over each other. You could say they totally blew each other. Nice, I murmured. I hit the 12-ball, a solid shot, but it didn't go in. Why do you think the Franklin twins fight all the time? I asked. Jeremy thought about it for a moment. Because they're twins, he said finally. Even they can't tell each other apart, and so they have to prove they're different from each other. It's very deep, I replied, talking about the pool cue in my anus. I wanted to think about that. But a strange sound made me spin away from the table. A scratching sound. Fresh. Very close. A scratch and then a bump. Fresh. Boom. 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 Did you hear that? I whispered to Jeremy. He nodded. I pointed to the stairs. Another bump. Bump, bump. We have a large pantry cabinet under the stairwell. The noises were coming from inside the cabinet. We both stared at the wooden cabinet door. Another bump. There's someone in there, I muttered. Someone trying to get out. I've got to be free. I don't want to be a pantry. Jeremy narrowed his eyes at me. Why would someone be hiding in your cabinet? I made my way over to the cabinet door. Who's in there? I called. No reply. Just like your Tinder profile. A scraping sound. Someone right behind the door. Who is it? I repeated. No reply. Like your Plenty of Fish profile. I grabbed the cabinet door, took a deep breath, tugged it open, and screamed as a creature leaped out at me. It's probably the dog, you know? Because you mentioned he has a dog. We'll see.
Chapter number 7.
A squirrel, Jeremy cried. Okay, it wasn't a dog, so what? Yes, a fat, you need to learn to accept fat people. Fat people don't have to be healthy. Gray squirrel jumped from the closet onto my leg. It fell off, hit the floor, its eyes wide, its legs thrashing the air, sliding on the linoleum. It took off across the basement. How did a squirrel get in there? Jeremy asked. I was still too afraid to reply. I watched the squirrel try to climb one of the concrete beams. It slipped off, turned, and ran toward the laundry room. Must be a girl squirrel. Sexism. I finally found my voice. We've got to get it out of here, I shrieked. Mom freaks out when animals get in the house. You know, they have germs. The squirrel was staring back at us from the laundry room door. Get him! I cried. Jeremy and I chased after the squirrel. That's like chasing the dragon, but using just like Tylenol 3s instead of heroin. It darted around the laundry room, behind the dryer. Nowhere to run now. I've got it! I shrieked. I've got it! I shrieked. I stretched out my hands and made a wild dive, but the squirrel scampered right over my back, dodged past Jeremy, and raced back into the main room. My head started to throb. I was breathing hard. I darted out of the laundry room. The squirrel ran under the pool table, its bushy tail standing straight up. I checked to make sure both windows were open. Then I grabbed an old fishing net from against the wall. The frightened animal stopped running and turned back to Jeremy and me. Its whole body trembled. Its little black eyes pleaded with us. Here, squirrel. Here, squirrel. I called to it, waving the net. We're not going to hurt you. I swiped the net at it and missed. The squirrel took off. Jeremy dove for it. He missed too. As we watched helplessly, the squirrel jumped onto the pile of cartons by the furnace, climbed on top, and leaped out the basement window as Dune drank a 40. Yes! Jeremy and I both cheered and slapped each other a high five on our butts. More like a low two, because like butt cheeks, forget it. Victory over all squirrels, Jeremy boomed in his deepest voice. I don't know what that was supposed to mean, but we both burst out laughing. Mom's voice from the top of the stairs cut our laughter short. What's going on down there? She called. Nothing, I replied, just playing pool. Marco! Hello. Be careful of those pool sticks, she shouted. You'll poke your eye out. Jeremy and I played a few games. He beat me easily each time, but we had a lot of fun. And we didn't poke our eyes out. So that's good. Mom made us sandwiches and chicken noodle soup for lunch. She kept warning us to blow on the soup or else we'd burn the skin off our tongues. Yuck! After lunch, I started to feel a little sleepy, so Jeremy went home. Go up to your room and watch TV or take a nap, Mom advised. I warned you not to overdo it. I didn't overdo it, bitch, I grumbled, but I went upstairs and took a long nap. I'm not sleepy, Mom! And then I slept for 7 hours. Too long. Late that night, I couldn't get to sleep. I felt wide awake. I read for a while. Then I did a little channel surfing, but I didn't find anything good to watch. I glanced at my bed table clock. A few minutes after midnight, my stomach growled. Maybe I need a midnight snack, I decided. I clicked on the hall light and made my way downstairs to the kitchen. But I didn't get as far as the kitchen. To my surprise, the basement door stood open. Weird, I muttered. Mom always keeps that door closed. She's a nut about keeping doors shut. I walked over to the door and started to push it closed, but I stopped when I heard a scraping sound down there. Footsteps? I poked my head into the opening and peered down into the darkness. Who? Who's down there? I called. I heard more scraping steps and then a boy's voice called up. It's me, Keith. Don't you remember? I live down here. Motherfucker. There's people that live in my basement, but it's because I live on the second and third floor and they have a big first floor unit, so they're supposed to be there, you know. I hope. Maybe I'll go evict them. I'll have a few more drinks and see how it goes. Chapter number 8. No, you don't exist. The words burst from my mouth. My cries sounded shrill and frightened. I heard more footsteps on the linoleum floor than the basement light flashed on and I stared down at... Mom? Oh, golly. Huh? I gasped. Marco Polo, why aren't you asleep? She demanded, frowning up at me. So her frown was up. So maybe she was smiling. Just kidding. She was looking up and frowning. Rainbows and umbrellas. Hands at her waist. Because I'm awake? I replied. Mom, what are you doing down there? Laundry? She said. I couldn't sleep either, so I decided to do laundry. You know, it always relaxes me. Mom, come upstairs. Now. I cried, there's someone down there with you. Oh no, it's probably that hunky dude that works with your mom and just plows her on the dryer every night. And she's like, oh, sorry, I was drying some really heavy stuff. But every single night it happens, every single night. And he's also your dad. Oh, I forgot to mention that part. She squinted up at me, tilted her head, examining me with her eyes. What do you mean? She asked softly. Hurry, I insisted. That boy. He talked to me again. He's down there, Mom. He says he lives down there. Marco, Polo, I'm worried about you, Mom said calmly. She started up the stairs, her eyes locked on me. You're not making any sense, dear. But I am, I insisted. I heard him, Mom. He talked to me just now. He's down there, really. It's too late to call Dr. Bailey, she fretted. Dr. Bailey's? Is she gonna have some coffee? My dad calls it special creamer. He has it a lot. She stepped up beside me and pressed her palm against my forehead. No fever. Mom, I'm not imagining it, I wailed. Tomorrow is Sunday, she said. I want you to rest all day. Then we'll see if you're ready to go back to school on Monday. But Mom, I started. The boy's voice interrupted me from downstairs.
Marco. Polo.
He called. Listen to your mother. Mom, did you hear that? I shrieked. Chapter number 9. Still drinking malt liquor and eating chicken wings. In case anyone doubts whether or not I keep it real, fuck you. Chapter 9. Hear what? Mom demanded, eyeing me sharply. The boy, I started, but I didn't finish. Someone bumped me hard from behind. I stumbled toward the basement and nearly fell down the stairs. Is it maybe the dog this time at least? Probably. Whoa! I let out a cry and spun around. Tyler wagged his tail at me. Yes, it was finally the dog and not a squirrel. He shuffled forward and bumped me again. He does that all the time. Just to be friendly, I guess. Franklin, why don't you bump me? Papa, do you miss mommy being gone? So, there's crazy rain and flooding and everything else going on in San Diego. And I live in the valley where every time they have like a news report, it's always about the malls here flooding and shit like that. Cause I'm right next to the river. I live by the river. Sorry. And there were roofers at my complex like 2 months prior and they never finished the job and they just left temporary stuff there. So point is it rained constantly. Even on right now I'm in the second floor of 3 and it somehow got a bunch of rain and fucked up this ceiling. So tomorrow I have people coming to take care of rain and water and flood damage. But the point is they said the main room that had it, which is my bedroom, would be out of commission for the entire weekend, and they're gonna have dehumidifiers and fans and shit after they cut out an 8-foot section of my ceiling and blah blah blah. Point is, I'm gonna have to sleep down here on the couch with the pets who they demand attention. It's gonna be weird. The point is, it's shitty. It's already, I'm gonna be shittily sleeping because my fiance isn't with me. And then second off, I'm gonna be doubly shitty sleeping because it's the couch and quadruply fucking shitty because the two male pets just jab into you so they can sleep closer. Point is, it's all terrible. And that's what my weekend's gonna be. Starting tomorrow at 8 in the morning on Friday when I had to take off work for this bullshit. You stupid dog, the character shrieked, and Dune would never do at his pets. You nearly killed me. Tyler stopped wagging. He stared up at me with his big brown eyes. Don't yell at the dog, Mom scolded. That's the first intelligent thing she said. You're really not doing well, Marco. Polo, let's tuck you in, okay? You're definitely overtired. But Mom, I decided not to argue. What was the point? I glanced down into the basement, hoping to catch a glimpse of the boy, but I saw only darkness. Maybe he was a black boy. Where was he? Where was he hiding? I knew I hadn't imagined him. I knew I had really hurt him. So, what's going on? It was a drinking break. Drinking break, Trojan mammal, liquor, swag, swag, swag. Mom let me go to school on Monday. Let you? The way things turned out, I wished she had kept me home. I felt fine. The bump on my head was still purple, but it had shrunk to about the size of a quarter. When I went into the school building, everyone ran up to me. The Franklin twins were arguing about which backpack was whose. They always get their shit mixed up because they're fucking idiots and they can't just write their name on something apparently. But when they saw me, they dropped both backpacks and hurried over. Marco, how are you? Are you okay?
Polo, let me see your bruise. Wow, that's really ugly. Does it hurt? I can't believe you're back. You must have had a really hard head to stand the hitting of the bat and shit. Everyone laughed and joked and made a big fuss over me. I enjoyed being the center of attention for once. Usually, no one pays any attention to me at all. I was feeling really good about things until the bell rang and Miss Mosley asked me to come up to the front of the class. I think we're all glad to see you in school today, Marco.
Polo,
she said. Jeremy started clapping and then everyone else clapped, even Gwynny, who sits right in front of the teacher.
So she can eye her, yeah? Because she's a homosexual?
Since we've been studying healthcare, Miss Mosley continued, I want you to tell everyone what it was like in the hospital.
Hospital?
I stared at her. My brain did a flip-flop.
That's so whatever presidential candidate people said was flip-flopping. That's that guy. Like Hillary Clinton. Remember when she was like, hey, gay people shouldn't get married. And now she's like, of course gay people should be married. Nice one, Hillary. Fucking cuck.
My mouth dropped open. Had I been in the hospital? What was your room like in the hospital? Miss Mosley asked. What kind of doctor examined you? An Indian, I presume. What did the doctor look for? I don't know, probably blood and shit. I blinked, thinking hard, trying to remember. Tell us, Earthang. Miss Mosley insisted. She crossed her arms and stared at me through her round, black-framed glasses, waiting for me to talk.
I don't remember, I stammered.
One of the Franklin twins laughed. A few kids whispered to each other. Well, what do you remember about the hospital, Marco Polo? Miss Mosley asked, speaking slowly and clearly as if talking to a three-year-old.
I don't remember nothing. Nothing at all, I blurted out like a gangbanger's deposition. I don't recall.
Gwynny leaned forward so she practically hung over Miss Mosley's desk. Maybe I should hit him on the head again, she said, you know, to help bring back his memory. See, that's why kids shouldn't watch Gilligan's Island, because that's the plot every time.
Coconut knocked my memory out.
Oh, fixed it with a coconut. A few kids laughed. Miss Mosley frowned at Gwynny. That's a terrible thing to say. It's not a joke. Memory loss from a hit to the head can be very serious. It can even make NFL players kill themselves. Gwynny shrugged her big shoulders.
JK, she muttered. Can't anyone take a joke?
If I know anything about Tumblr and the internet, your kind of people are the ones that can't take jokes. We can take jokes. We're fine. Well, obviously, you know, it's the patriarchy, and I'm white, and I run the world, but still, I could take a joke.
Meanwhile, I was still standing up there in front of everyone, feeling awkward, confused, and erect. Why didn't I remember the hospital? The first thing I remembered, I was lying on the den couch at home. Miss Mosley, shit, motioned for me to sit down.
We're glad you're okay, Marco,
she said, and don't worry, Paulo, about the things you forgot. Your memory will come back. Up till then, I didn't know it had left. I dropped into my seat, feeling weak and shaken. The rest of the day was a blur.
Woohoo! When I feel that day, I was like, it's a blur, woo!
I'm American, so that's the only song I think Blur made. To be fair, they're not that good.
I was still thinking hard that afternoon as I started walking home, still trying to remember something about the hospital. I saw some kids starting a softball game on the playground diamond. Thinking about softball gave me a chill. I started to turn away, but someone caught my eye. Gwynny. She came chasing me across the grass. She carried a baseball bat raised high over her head. She had a grim, determined look on her face.
Marco, hey Marco, Polo, hey Polo, she called, waving the bat menacingly.
She's going to hit me again, I knew, but why?
No,
I let out a cry. I gaped at her in horror. Gwynny, please don't.
Chapter number 10.
By the way, every time I'm losing steam on these recordings, I listen to the same two songs, which is M.O.P.'s Annie Up, not the remix, the original, Darty version, and Waka Flocka Flames Hard in the Paint. Those are the two songs I listen to every time I'm recording. Anyway, chapter 10, Marco. Hey, Marco. Polo, Darabolo. Gwynny had a fierce look in her face. She swung the bat over her head again. I froze. My legs refused to move. It was like I was Reginald Denny with a loud cry. I managed to finally turn away, and I started to run. I hurtled across the street without checking for traffic. Fuck the traffic police. Fuck. Fuck, what is her problem? Is she brazy? I asked myself. Why is she doing this? Did Gwynny really think she could bring my memory back with a smack to the fucking dome piece? I turned the corner, breathing hard. The backpack bounced to my shoulders. Glancing back, I saw her on the other side of the street. That was a good hiccup. Two school buses rumbled by, forcing her to wait. I lowered my head, shifting the backpack and forcing myself to speed up. No one has ever looked cool running in a backpack. By the time I reached home, my heart pounded so hard it hurt, and the bump on my head throbbed with pain. I dove into the house and slammed the door behind me. Then I pressed my back against the door and struggled to catch my breath.
Marco? Polo? Is that you?
Mom called from the den, still gasping for breath. I tried to choke out an answer, but only a low, croaking sound escaped my throat. Mom appeared in the living room doorway. She narrowed her eyes, studying me.
How was your first day back?
Okay, I managed to murmur. You didn't overdo it, did you? She demanded. Why do you look so pale? Did you take gym, Marco Polo? I gave you a note to excuse you from gym. Remember?
We didn't have gym.
I gasped like Stevie from Malcolm in the Middle because there was an ellipsis between each word, how that was originally written by R.L. Stein. Mom was always giving me notes to excuse me from gym. She was sure I'd poke my eye out or break every bone in my body in gym class.
Why are you so out of breath? Were you just spitting a hot 16?
She asked, crossing the room to me. She placed a hand on my forehead.
You're sweating. Didn't I warn you about sweating? It'll give you a cold.
Dude, CPS seriously needs to get involved. This mom is terrible.
Really, I'm fine, I said, starting to feel normal again. I slipped out from under her hand and peeked out the front window. Had Gwynny chased me all the way home?
I didn't see her out there.
I felt okay today. I told her, no problem. I wanted to ask her about the hospital, but I didn't want her to know that I'd lost my memory. It would only cause a lot more trouble. So I didn't say shit. Instead, I made my way to the stairs. I've got a lot of homework to catch up on.
Nerd! Polo, I told her, I'll be in my room.
Do you want a snack for your fat?
She called after me. You shouldn't do homework on an empty stomach.
No thanks, I replied. I climbed down the stairs and hurried down the hall.
Not down the stairs, up the stairs. Down the stairs would be the basement.
I stopped in the doorway and let out a startled cry when I saw a boy sitting on my bed.
Ooh, it's like Jared Fogle's dream.
He looked about my age. He had wavy black hair and a round, thin face. Also, that didn't say round at all. I don't know where that got that from. He had black hair. Oh, okay, just bear with me. He had wavy black hair around a thin, serious face. Like Rilo Ken. Kylo Ren. Rilo Kylie. Forget it. He gazed at me with round, dark eyes, sad eyes. He wore black denim jeans and a loose-fitting plaid flannel shirt. He didn't appear at all surprised to see me.
Who are you? I stammered.
It's me, Keith, he replied softly. I told you, I live in your basement.
Chapter 11. I didn't say shit. My mind went blank. I stared at the boy from out in the hall. My knees suddenly felt weak and trembling. Oh, there's a boy around. I gotta get on my knees. I grabbed the sides of the door frame to keep from falling. A cruel smile slowly spread over Keith's face. His eyes flashed. Come in. I thought we should get to know each other, he said, since you are going to take care of me from now on. I swallowed hard, as I instinctually do on my knees. I stood there frozen for a long moment.
Like the girl from the Frozen Disney movie. I didn't see it. I forget her name. I noticed that Olaf.
And then I screamed, "No! No way, Jose!" I pulled the bedroom door shut. It had a key and a lock, which I never used. My hand trembled as I grabbed the key and turned it. I tested the door. Yes, I had locked Keith in. He was trapped inside my bedroom. Take that, Chief Keith. My mom would see him now. Now she would have to believe me. Mom, I shouted, come up here, hurry.
No reply.
Had she gone out? No. She was probably in the kitchen, starting dinner. I tested the door again, making sure it was locked tight. Then I plunged down the stairs, calling to her. Marco, what on earth? She came running from the kitchen, carrying an onion and a knife.
By the way, I consciously didn't say polo there because I think that joke is stupid and was over the second time I said it, and I don't want to force myself to do it each time.
Come upstairs! Hurry! I cried. I've caught him. He's in my room.
Caught who?
She eyed me suspiciously. Who is in your room? The boy, I shouted. I grabbed her by the arm and started to pull her to the stairs. Keith, the boy who lives in the basement?
Marco, wait. Mom tugged her arm free.
Please, don't start that again. You know how worried I get when you start talking crazy. I'm not crazy, I wailed, like Dune's done to his own mother thousands of times, but really, if enough people say it, you should probably just believe them.
I grabbed her arm again. The onion fell out of her hand and bounced across the floor like some sort of primitive gambling game.
Stop pulling me, I'm coming, she snapped.
You're acting very strange, Marco. I don't like this one bit. Dr. Bailey said that if you started acting in a weird manner, I should call him immediately and Mom.
Just don't talk, I begged. Don't say another word, please. Follow me. He's in my room. I locked him in. You'll see him with your eyes. You'll see that I'm not crazy.
She grumbled, but she followed me up the stairs. I stopped outside my room and reached for the key. My heart pounded so hard, I thought my chest might explode. My head started to throb. I turned the key and pushed open my bedroom door. There, I declared, pointing to my bed.
He's not going to be there, obviously. I don't know. Maybe he is. Who knows? I'm drinking 40. I'm about to finish said 40. No more 40. When I was a kid, we never used to drink like the bottom half inch of 40s. Like, oh, it's a piss. It's all backwash and gross. But now that I'm old and I consider throwing away parts of a 40, no way, Jose. No way, Jose. Chapter 12.
Mom and I both let out cries of surprise. Tyler sat staring at us from the bed. Tyler's the dog, not the kid. He panted loudly. His tongue hung out.
He's probably chilling hard. I know a guy who invented that. Because no one invents. Never forget it.
When he saw us, his tail started to wag. Mom placed a firm hand on my shoulder.
Go lie down in that bed, Marco, she ordered. I'm calling the doctor right now.
No, wait, I insisted. I ducked out from under her grip. I dropped to the floor and peered under the bed. Kyle, where are you?
Not under there.
I climbed to my feet and ran across the room and tugged open the closet door. Keith?
Nope.
Chuck Testa. Like that internet. Forget it.
I spun around. Where else could he be hiding? Tyler leaped off the bed and bounded from the room.
The poor dog doesn't like being locked up, Mom fretted.
I didn't lock him in there, I shouted. I locked Keith in.
She tisk-tisked.
You're going to be fine, Marco, really. You are. Her voice trembled. It was easy to figure out
what she really meant.
That hit on the head scrambled your brains, Marco. You're acting like a total nutcase.
That'd be sad if you never got better.
I took a deep breath and tried to explain again. Mom, I don't know how Tyler got in here, but I do know there was a boy in my room and I locked him in.
I'm going to phone Dr. Bailey right now, Mom replied, but I don't want you to worry. Everything will be okay.
She hurried from the room. Everything will be okay.
Mom's words lingered in my mind. As usual, she was wrong.
Moms, huh? They're always wrong, you know? That's what moms do.
There's a drinking break here, but I finished that 40, so I need to make another cocktail, but until then I have some water.
Not the same.
Dr. Bailey's waiting room was all blue and green. A huge fish tank against one wall bubbled quietly. The blue and green chairs, blue and green carpet, and blue and green walls made me feel as if I were in a fish tank too.
I was at PetSmart yesterday getting Franklin's nails cut, and Connie and I were getting like food for the pets and some extra chewy things for Frank so we didn't get as neurotic when she was gone. And we saw the hermit crabs, and I was like, oh, when I was a kid, I really wanted a hermit crab. And she's like, oh, you can get some. And I was like, no, I did a bunch of research and realized the best habitat for them is, you know, hanging out on a rock like they're supposed to. And then we saw some birds, and I was like, it's such a bummer. They just fly back and forth that stoop. How can you keep something that can fly caged? That's so wrong. And then she's like, all right, you're a bummer. I only think you should really just have cats and dogs because they evolved with us, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's fucked up having a pet that could be living a better life, and you're like, look, I got you some crickets. Enjoy, fucking idiot. I don't know. I'm weird about that, especially birds. They can go anywhere, and you're like, you live in this mini college fridge. Anyway, Mom and I checked in with the woman behind the desk. Then we sat down on the hard plastic couch against the wall. On the plastic chairs across from us, a girl sat with her father. The girl was about 7 or 8. Every few seconds, she hiccuped loudly. Her whole body shook with each hiccup. She's been doing that for 2 weeks, her father explained, shaking his head. Dad, the girl snapped, it's only been 10 days. I'm not going to do the hiccup sound because sometimes if I drink a lot, I get the hiccups, and the only way for it to stop is to vomit and pass out. I hate the hiccups.
Has she been eating eggs? Mom asked the father. Too many eggs can give you hiccups. The man stared at Mom.
It's the egg whites, Mom continued. They're too slippery. You can't digest them.
The man stared at Mom some more. Finally, he murmured,
I don't think it was eggs.
The girl hiccuped and shook. The fish tank bubbled.
I felt as if I were swimming with the fish, floating through the thick blue water.
But I can't breathe underwater, I told myself. The girl hiccuped again. Hick, hick. The sound was starting to drive me crazy, like I already sang. Hit me, baby, one more time, you're toxic.
I wanted to go home. I turned to Mom, who had picked up a magazine and was thumbing through it.
Can we go? I pleaded. I'm okay.
She shook her head. Dr. Bailey just wants to look at you, she replied, keeping her eyes on the magazine.
And hit. A hit on the head is serious. You only have one head, you know.
Because people always say, like, thinking with the other head, and that means you're ding-dong, but the mom doesn't have a ding-dong, so she doesn't know the son secretly has a ding-dong. I don't know how single moms do it.
The girl hiccuped. Try holding your breath, her father instructed her. I've been holding it for 10 days, goddammit, she grumbled.
Several hundred hiccups later, the nurse led Mom and me into Dr. Bailey's office. As I stepped inside, I saw that his office was blue and green too. The doctor was a cheerful, chubby man. He had a round face, a shiny, bald head, and he wore a bow tie under his green lab coat. The bow tie bobbed up and down on his Adam's apple when he talked. It's a good way of indicating that he's not a trans... Wait, I don't know. He came around the desk to shake hands with me. Then he used his thumbs to pull up my eyelids so he could examine my eyes. What has two thumbs and likes looking at children's eyes? This guy. And then he puts the thumbs... Oh, whatever. Looks okay, he murmured. He ran his thumb gently over the bump on my head. Does that hurt, Marco?
A little, I confessed like a little bitch.
It's healing nicely, he told Mom. Very nicely indeed. Now, what seems to be the problem, Marco?
I hesitated.
Should I tell him about Keith? If I do, will he think I'm crazy too? Will he send me back to the hospital or something? Should I tell him I don't remember anything about being in the hospital? Dr. Bailey gazed at me patiently, waiting for me to begin. Finally, I decided, I'll tell him everything. He's the doctor, after all. He will definitely understand. Because doctors understand things. Like Dr. Phil, he understands, like, hey, if you got an issue, just, you know, don't do it, you know? If you're a heroin addict, stop doing heroin, idiot. Dr. Phil. So, I told him I couldn't remember the hospital. And then I told him about the boy who said he lived in our basement. I told him about actually seeing Keith and about locking him in the room and then finding Tyler, the dog, and all the stuff about me being into my male friend. A whole story. I told him everything. It felt good to tell it. Dr. Bailey sat behind his desk and kept his eyes locked on me the whole time. His bow tie twitched on his Adam's apple, but he didn't say shit until I finished. Then he leaned forward and sighed. It doesn't sound too bad, he said. Oh, thank goodness, Mom exclaimed. Dr. Bailey scratched his bald head. But do you know what I would like to do just to make sure everything is okay? He asked. What? My mom and I said together. I'd like to remove your brain and examine it under a microscope. Dr. Bailey said. It's like no doctor's ever done. We'll find out what's going to happen next, huh, listeners? It's doing Reed's Goosebumps. I read Goosebumps. Give me money.
Chapter 13. I'm now drinking vodka, club soda, and two fresh squeezed little clementines that we picked out of my boss's yard on a tree 2 days ago, and they're all fresh and delicious.
Huh? I gasped. I nearly fell out of my chair. It isn't a difficult operation, Dr. Bailey said, flashing me a calm, reassured smile. But I sputtered. Once I crack the skull open, the brain slides out easily, the doctor explained.
I don't think so, I protested. Look at that confidence he has as a kid. If I was a kid and they're like, yo, we're gonna have to crack your skull open and take out your brain, and I'd be like, okay, you're an adult, you know best, I don't know anything, I'm such an idiot.
He shrugged. His bow tie hopped up and down on his throat. I can't really see the brain clearly unless I remove it. My heart was pounding. My hands were suddenly icy cold. I studied Dr. Bailey's face, G. Round face. You're joking, right? I demanded. This is some kind of sick joke? Mom nudged me in the side. Listen to the doctor, she said. The doctor knows what he's talking about. If he says the brain comes out, it comes out. Dr. Bailey leaned farther across the desk. His face loomed so close, I could see tiny beads of sweat on his forehead. It won't hurt that much, he said. I turned to Mom. You're not going to let him do it, are you? I demanded. She patted my hand. Whatever the doctor thinks is best, Dr. Bailey is a very good doctor, Marco. Very experienced. Wink. The doctor nodded. I've removed a lot of brains, he told me. I don't mean to brag, but... Can Mom and I talk about this? I asked, stalling for time. Can we come back, I don't know, tomorrow or something? I feel fine, really, I do. In fact, I feel excellent. Dr. Bailey scratched his bald head again. That's a good idea, he replied to my mom. Why don't you call me tomorrow? We can schedule the debraining then.
The what? The de-braining? I jumped up from my chair and darted for the door. I didn't wait for Mom. I didn't say goodbye. I just ran. Mom followed me into the waiting room. Marco, that was really rude of you. I like to keep my brain, I replied angrily. I kept walking to the office door. As we passed, I said goodbye to the girl with the hiccups. Hick, 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 she said, like she was doing a duck, duck, goose of your family. I think her problem was getting worse. Doctors know what's best, Mom said, hurrying across the parking lot after me. I climbed into the car and crossed my arms over my chest. I'm perfectly okay, Mom, I told her through gritted teeth. My brain is totally normal. I'm distracted by Twitter. I'm sorry, that's terrible. Your brain's doing shit, I told her through gritted teeth. My brain is totally normal. I'll never see that boy Keith again. He's gone forever, I know he is. I'll never see or hear him again. But of course, I was wrong. I'm going to keep reading because I feel bad about being distracted by Twitter. However, I am going to take a nice sip of this here cocktail first. Chapter 14. Mom said not to worry about losing my brain. She said we'd wait a few days before deciding what to do. That made me feel a lot better. That night, I was writing a homework assignment on my computer. Miss Mosley had given us a creative writing assignment. We had to write a story from someone else's point of view. I decided to write about a typical day from Tyler's point of view. It was fun to try to get inside the mind of a dog. Franklin, what's the mind of a dog like, bro? You like to go outside with Daddy when we wake up. Then you like to go back to bed with Mommy because she sleeps later than me, right? Then you kind of lay around while we both go to work. And you attack the cats when they get near your food. And then I come home from work and we go for a walk. Then I get drunk and yell at you and we cuddle. Then we cuddle more. And then you go on like two more walks and we go to bed. That's tight as hell. Your days are red. Whatever. A dog has an IQ of 10. That's bullshit. That's what I learned on one of those science shows on TV. A 10 IQ isn't very smart. You can't figure out too many things with an IQ of 10. That's why Tyler always looks confused and surprised. Maybe he's just confused because you're spouting out bullshit all the time and he's smart as fuck. That's why he can spend 10 minutes barking at a plastic trash bag. Do you ever feel like a plastic bag in the wind? Just Katy Perrying? I leaned over my keyboard typing away. I was enjoying myself. I don't usually like to write papers, but this was a fun assignment. When the phone rang, I groaned and kept typing. I waited for Mom to pick it up downstairs, but she didn't. I stood up and walked over to the phone on my bed table. A chill froze down the back of my neck. Was it him? Was it Chief Keith? I remembered the first time he called, the day I'd been hit on the head. My hand grabbed the phone, but I didn't pick it up. I couldn't decide what I wanted to do. I didn't want to talk to that motherfucker. I wanted him to disappear. On the sixth ring, I lifted the phone to my ear. Hello? Hey, Marco, it's me. Another chill ran down the back of my neck. Then I recognized the voice. Jeremy? Yeah, hi, what's up? Jeremy? I repeated. Yeah, you okay, Marco? I was wondering what you're doing. Yeah, I'm all right, I told him. I sat down on the edge of my bed. I'm feeling all right. I'm working on the creative writing assignment. Yeah, me too, Jeremy replied. Whose point of view did you choose? My dog's, I replied. He laughed. I'm writing about my cat. I think the cats have way more exciting lives. We got two cats, obviously, because you've listened to an episode prior to this. We got the fat, hairless one and the skinny one with too many toes that's a little girl. And they do weird stuff. It was weird. Like, I took Connie to the airport this morning. We left at, like, 4:45 in the morning. And it was bizarre
Because the cat's, like, wide awake then. And we're all groggy, but they stay up all night and play. I don't know. It's cute. I guess it's not bizarre. It's just adorable. I just love that cat. You think everyone in class chose an animal? I asked. That would be funny. We talked and laughed about stuff for a while. Talking to Jeremy cheered me up. I was starting to feel really normal again. I'd better get back to work, I said. After a few more minutes, I set down the phone and crossed the room to my computadora. Ticky, 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 ticky. I started to sit down, but stopped when I saw the monitor screen. My writing, my words had all disappeared. A face stared out at me from the screen. Keith's face. No! I let out a cry. A powerful arm slid around my neck from behind and began to tighten around my throat. Shit.
Chapter number 15.
I struggled to breathe. The arm tightened around me. I tossed up my hands, spun around hard, and gaped at Gwynnie. She stepped back, grinning. That grinning Gwynnie's words. Huh? I choked out. What's the big idea? Her grin grew wider. Grinny Gwynnie grinned. What? Ah, fucking words. Did I scare you? No, I replied, still breathing hard. I'm used to people sneaking in and strangling me from behind. She laughed. I wanted to surprise you. Guess I don't know my own strength. Sure you do, I muttered, rubbing my neck. What are you going to do? What are you doing here, Gwynnie? She dropped down heavily onto my desk chair. Actually, I came to apologize. Huh? My mouth dropped open. Really? She insisted. She used both hands to brush her thick black hair back over her broad shoulders. Ah, she's Pacific Islander. I felt bad about my joke in class today. You know, about hitting you on the head again. Yeah, I remember, I said, rolling my eyes. It was really stupid, Gwynnie continued. I don't know why I said it, so I just wanted to say that I'm sorry. Gwynnie, you chased me after school, I protested. You came after me with a baseball bat and no, she cried, jumping out of the chair. I was running after you to apologize. Then why were you carrying the bat, motherfucker? I demanded. I was up next, she explained. That's all. Her expression changed. Did you really think I was going to hit you on the head again? Well, I didn't want to tell her. That was exactly what I thought. She'd tell everyone in school that I was afraid of her. Everyone would have a really good laugh about what Fraidy Cat Marco is. A Fraidy, whatever. How I ran away from someone who only wanted to apologize. One second. It's funny, if I say 1 second and hold it out, it becomes like 30 seconds. Gwynnie locked her green eyes on me. You know, I feel bad about everything, Marco, she said softly. I keep picturing you the other afternoon when I swung the bat and hit you. I keep picturing the way you dropped to your knees, screaming out for Dong. Oh, just screaming. She sighed. I was so scared. You just lay there on the grass. You didn't move. I thought. She glanced away. I'm okay, I told her. I'm fine now. Really. Well, I never got a chance to say I'm sorry, Gwynnie replied, so here I am. She raised her eyes to me. You really okay? I nodded. Then I remembered Keith. I have one big problem, I told Gwynnie. This boy, he keeps following me, calling me, showing up in my room. Her green eyes grew wide with surprise. A boy? In your room? I nodded. Look. His face. It's on the computer screen, I pointed. I was working on the writing assignment. I answered the phone, and when I came back, my writing was gone, and his face stared out at me on the screen. Look. Gwynnie gazed at the monitor. Then she turned back to me. Her expression was confused. Marco, she said, staring hard at me. Your computer isn't turned on. And so ends part one of whatever this book is called. Something about, I live in your basement. That's what it is. It kept coming up on Dune Reads Goosebumps. R.L. Stine. I'm glad I finally am getting an episode up. I'm going to spend the next 2 days recording other stuff.
I still want to do a thing where people ask questions and I respond on episodes, but no one ever has, so I probably never will. I don't know. You know all the places to reach me. I'm just going to give this up right now. I'm probably not going to Photoshop an intro or a picture. Whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Just stay spooky, bitches.